And I want you to imagine, just for a second, that you're a fly on the wall. And there's a specific circumstance going on. There's a bloke. Yeah, let's call him a bloke. There's a bloke. And it's his first day at university. And he's got into his room, his digs, and he's starting to unpack, and his parents are there with him. And he's just keen for them to go, because, you know, the first day at university, the last thing you want to be seen is with your parents being close by. Just go, it's all right, I'll be fine. And the father, he knows it's time to go, and he loves his son very much. And he wants to give him a piece of advice. And it's the last piece of advice he's probably going to give him for a while. So he turns to his son. And just very quietly, just as his mum walks out the door, he makes eye contact with his son. And he says this. He says, "Choose very carefully who your friends will be." And then he walks out. And I wonder what you think about that advice. For some of you, that's actually been your experience. And I wonder if that was the advice that you gave to your children. You see, this parent understands that one of the biggest influences on a person is who their friends will be. And influence is really what this psalm is all about. What is it that influences you? Or who is it that influences you? You see, we don't live day to day in isolation, do we? We mix and we mingle with people all the time. And tonight, the psalmist wants us to listen and to join in with this parents, with this prayer song that he has been singing. Because that's what we are to do. This is a song that we are supposed to listen to and join in. And he's actually got some advice for us about how we're supposed to live a blessed life in this world. And the first piece of advice he wants to give us in this stanza is actually quite shocking. He says, take drastic action to ensure that God's instruction is your utmost influence. Take drastic action to ensure that God's instruction is your utmost influence. And the first three verses of this stanza try explain this, and I will try to get to it, and I hope that you will see exactly what this psalmist is saying here. Remember that this is Hebrew poetry, so we've slightly lost just a little bit in the translation. So our translation says, I hate double-minded men, but I love your law. And actually, in the Hebrew poetry, there was a lot more rhyme and a lot more rhythm to it. So this particular stanza, which is part of an acrostic, which means basically every eight verses started with a different Hebrew letter. And this one started with the equivalent of the Hebrew letter S. It starts and it goes a bit like this. It says, the double-minded I hate, but your law I love. Yeah? The double-minded I hate, but your law I love. But what does that mean, the double-minded? The Bible actually has quite a lot to say about the double-minded. A double-minded person is a person who's depicted as a person who has divided loyalties, or half-hearted. The New Testament writer, James, actually says that a double-minded person is like a wave that's being tossed backwards and forwards in a stormy sea. He's just not straight. He doesn't travel in a straight line. He's going this way, and then he's going that way. But the key thing about a double-minded person actually is that he's double-hearted. That he's not wholeheartedly obedient or wholeheartedly wanting to serve God. And that's the point. He's double-hearted. Now bear with me because it will take a bit of time to get to this. Okay? But why? Why does the psalmist then say, the double-minded I hate? I mean, hate, that's fairly strong, isn't it? But where else does the Bible talk about this word hate? Let me give you one example. Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to Proverbs chapter 8, which is on page 450 in the church Bibles. Proverbs chapter 8, and we're going to look at verse 13. The issue is about hate. And in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13, God says this. Says, to fear the Lord is to hate evil. I hate pride and arrogance, evil behavior, and perverse speech. See, here is God showing you something of his nature in wisdom personified. And the key thing here is that God hates these things. Our biggest danger is that we become so familiar with these things that we don't think that they're actually anything that big. I mean, look at those verbs again. Pride, arrogance, evil behavior, and perverse speech. I mean, that's the kind of thing I would see every day on my TV screen, isn't it? In every program, really. Or lots of them, anyway. And the point is that God hates these things. I mean, that's the kind of thing that's completely normal in our society. And the double-minded man is a person who wants to serve God, but also wants to serve the world. Or put it another way, he wants to serve God, but he's quite attracted by what the world has to offer. And so when he comes across these things, he sees no problem in actually adopting them. But we as believers are told to love the instruction that God gives us. That's the contrast that the psalmist gives. The psalmist says, the double-minded I hate, but your law, your instruction, I love. And why does he love it? Why does he love the instruction that God gives? Because God is our refuge, our hiding place, our shield, he says in verse 114. You are my refuge and my shield. I have put my hope in your word. You see, God is my redeemer, he says. You're the one, God, who has rescued me, who has made me alive when I was dead. And then you've given me instruction so that I may follow you, so that I may remain in relationship with you. God is my protector as well. That's what he's saying when he says, you are my shield. And the double-minded person will lead me away from that instruction. He will lead me away from the safety of the security of God. And he will lead me into the very attitudes that God hates. Do you get it? That's why the psalmist hates the double-minded man. Because the influence of the double-minded man is to take me away from the very instruction that God gave to me. The very God who redeemed me. Last week we saw that the psalmist says that he had set his heart to follow or to keep God's decree to the very end. That was what it said right at the very end in Psalm, in verse 112. And here he is, right at the very beginning, saying, yes, I do want to keep your word. I do want to keep your laws, O God. Therefore, the people that I'm most worried about are the people who are going to take me away from your law. Can you see how what he's doing is he's taking drastic action to ensure that God's law, that God's instruction is utmost. So by the time the psalmist comes across another character, the evildoer, as he calls it, the one who's out and out opposed to obeying God's instruction, well, by the time he comes to this bloke, it's no surprise what he says, is it? He says, away from me. Verse 115. Away from me, you evildoers, that I may keep the commands of my God. Literally, away from me, the psalmist says, you who are out and out opposed to God's law. Because if I travel the same way with you, I will most definitely be led astray, won't I? Because your path, your way, is in direct opposition to the way that God wants me to follow. No, you go your way. You depart from me, he says. You travel your own road if you want, but don't drag me along with you, he says. The only thing that I need to guard against is that I don't forget, and I don't ignore the very commands that my God has given to me. And why? Why am I not to do that? Because the way that I advance, the way that I am blessed in this world, he says, is by keeping the instructions that my God gives. That's what we saw right at the very beginning of this psalm, wasn't it? Verse 1 of this psalm, take a look at it if you want, says, Blessed are they whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are they who keep his statutes and seek him with all their heart. So what is he urging us to do here? What's the advice he's giving us here? Well, it's quite simple. It's love the instruction that the Lord gives. Love the instruction that the Lord, who rescued you, who redeemed you, who made you alive when you were dead, love the instruction that he gives. Love it. And don't let anything mislead you or dissuade you from it. Don't be influenced by the double-minded person or the evil person. Watch out for them. In fact, don't be double-minded yourself. Put your hope in the word of him who saves you, is what he says. Rest in it, trust it, obey it. Order your life around it. Guard yourself so that you will keep the commands that he gives you. That's the advice he's urged you in this first bit of the stanza. So ask yourself this question. What is it that you do to ensure that God's word is the utmost influence in your life? Because that's what the psalmist is urging you to do. In his case, he made it very clear. The double-minded person, the evil person, no, stay away. I wonder what he would say in our day. Because there are more influences than just people, aren't there? What are we going to do to ensure that God's word is the utmost influence in our lives? And for those of us who feel, and I count myself as in this category, for those of us who feel that we are more of the double-minded nature than the psalmist nature, then listen to what James has to say to us. He says, submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. It's in James chapter 4. And then the psalmist comes, as it were, to the meat in his sandwich. The real thing that he's desperate for us to grasp. And this is the second piece of advice that he's got for us. He says, trust God to uphold and preserve you on his path. You see, this psalmist is not unrealistic. Although he has promised that he wants to set his heart to obey God's decree, he's done that. He said, Lord, I promise I will set my heart to obey your decrees to the very end of my life. That's what he's done. And although he's taken drastic action to ensure that God's word is the thing that influences him the most, even though that's the right thing for him to do, he knows he just can't keep God's ways in his own strength. We know that about this psalmist because he said that back in verse 5. In verse 5, he's cried out, he went, oh, that my ways were steadfast in obeying your decrees, O God. Oh, that if I could only just be the kind of person, I think I used this illustration, the kind of train that's stuck on your train tracks, O God, that I didn't just keep veering off. That's what he's desperate to do. And he knows that he needs help. Just like us. So he cries out to God. He says, sustain me according to your promise and I will live. Do not let my hopes be dashed, as it were. The word he uses, actually, it literally means to support me. As if when all my strength is gone and I'm fainting and I'm falling backwards, you just take the strain and you hold me up. That's the word he's using. That's what sustain me means. And he pleads for God to support him just as God has promised. He pleads for God's support so that he can have life, so that he can have real life, the life that only comes from obeying God's word. And don't just support me today, God, the psalmist says. I need you to keep on supporting me, to keep on upholding me, to sustain me, to preserve me, as it were, that I may be saved in the end. That's the essence of 117. That word, uphold me, it means literally keep on carrying me. So that in the end, I will be saved. I will always, he says, regard your decrees. Psalmist says, if you hold me, if you uphold me, O God, I will be saved. And I will continually look, or better still, I will continually obey your commands. If you uphold me. I need you to do that. And do you know what God's answer is? God answers this cry of the psalmist's heart a bit later on in Isaiah. Just turn with me, if you will, to Isaiah 40. 46. And hear God speaking to his people. Here are a bunch of people who were desperate to hear God speak to them. And hear what God says. The prophet Isaiah in chapter 46, verse 3 says this. He says, "Listen to me, O house of Jacob, all you who remain of the house of Israel, you whom I have upheld since you were conceived and have carried since your birth, even to your old age and gray hairs, I am he. I am he who will sustain you. I have made you, and I will carry you. I will sustain you, and I will rescue you." Our God is more than capable of sustaining us on this walk as we follow after him. That's the amazing thing. And we need to remember that. And we need to cast ourselves upon his grace and cry out for him to help us, to support us, to preserve us as we go along the path. I want to ask, this is almost a silly question to ask, but I will ask it. Is there anybody here who thinks that they are strong enough to always obey God's instruction? Of course not. We all need God's help. And the wonderful thing is that he promises to do that for us. He gives us the power to follow him and to obey his word. And Paul knew this. In Philippians he writes, halfway through he says, "Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will complete it, will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ." We are to cast ourselves upon our God and remember and trust that he is powerful enough, strong enough to carry us, to sustain us to the very end. And then there's a third thing he wants us to remember, this psalmist. Having cried out to God, that God, please, I'm desperate for you to keep me following your ways. I need your help to sustain me. He then says this. He says, remember that God will judge the wicked. Remember that God will judge the wicked. You see, the psalmist turns back to these two characters who have been bugging him, as it were. But this time he looks at them from God's perspective. And they are in perilous danger. The wicked and the double-minded man are in perilous danger. You see, the double-minded man is shown as a man who goes astray from God's law. He's a bit like a drunken man. Have you ever seen when, if the police ever pick up a person and they want to ask whether or not they're drunk, one of the tests that they do is they ask you to walk in a straight line. And one of the reasons you can't do that when you're drunk, they tell me, is because you just can't focus, can you? So you swerve in this way, and you know the line's there, and so you swerve back, and you overcompensate, and then you swerve in and out and in and out as you're trying to get to the way. Right. And that's what the psalmist says the double-minded man literally does. You go in on God's law, you say, oh yes, I want to obey, and I want to do this. And then you swerve out and say, oh, actually, I'm not interested in that. I'm interested in what the world has to offer. And then you swerve back in, oh yes, I want to obey. And then you swerve out. And here is the horrible fact that the psalmist says. He says, that double-minded man is in danger because God will reject him. Verse 118. You reject all who stray from your decrees, for their deceitfulness is in vain. The psalmist remembers that God will literally weigh in the balance the double-minded man and then discard him. The very scary thing is not that a person rejects God, but that God rejects the person. We may play fast and loose with God's instructions, thinking that we can have the best of both worlds. But God is not fooled. Our deception will be in vain, is what the psalmist says. And as for the wicked, well, he will literally bring him to an end, to a cease. He says, you will discard the wicked of the earth like dross. That word dross is really quite interesting because the way it's used in the Bible is this. It's used of a silversmith. And the way that a silversmith refines a piece of silver is he gets a set of tongs and he puts the silver in the furnace. And as he puts the silver in the furnace, all the impurities, all the rubbish floats, bubbles up to the top. And he has a kind of scalpel thing, I don't know what you call it, and he scoops up all the rubbish and then he just chucks it aside. So that all you're left with is the pure silver. And the scary thing that the psalmist is saying is that's what God's going to do with the wicked. That they're just rubbish that he's going to chuck aside. And for the psalmist, this is quite an ordeal because, you see, the psalmist has been plagued by wicked men. So back in verse 61, he said, though the wicked bind me with ropes, I will not forget your law. And in verse 95, he says, the wicked are waiting to destroy me. And verse 110, which we read last week, the wicked have set a snare for me, he says. The wicked people thought that they were powerful, that they were something, that they were it, as it were. But God thinks that they're nothing. He's just going to discard them. He's going to bring them to a stop, a sudden stop. In fact, the word that's used is the same word that Jesus used when he just rebuked the storm. He says, shut up. And then he will judge them. And they will be discarded as rubbish in hell. So the psalmist says, therefore I love your statutes. See, the psalmist just thinks to himself, all these people who have been plaguing me, God is just going to discard them as rubbish. And at one level, he's just absolutely amazed and he's thankful to God that God literally will do exactly what he says, that God is faithful. And he says, I love your statutes, the words that remind me about you, that remind me of your faithfulness. But there's another thing that's also on his mind. And that's what we see in verse 120. See, although he's rejoicing in the fact that God is faithful and he will make an end to all his enemies, to the wicked, he is absolutely frightened of what the Lord God will do. He says, my flesh trembles in fear of you, and I stand in awe of your judgments, of your mishpats. That's what that word means, that laws word means. This is not a reverent fear. This is not the fear of the Lord as we kind of know it, as a sort of we worshiply fear God. This is a I'm absolutely petrified kind of fear. the hairs on the back of my neck are standing up kind of fair. It's an absolute terror. You see, the psalmist meditates on God's judgment on the double-minded and the wicked, and he's absolutely terrified because God will discard and judge them and burn them up as worthless. And it's a frightening thing to see God's judgment. That's why the psalmist says, I desperately don't want anything to do with these people. I want to keep my distance from them. No, I want to be wholehearted in my obedience to you, God. For the psalmist, wholehearted devotion is not an optional extra. And the implication for us is very clear, isn't it? Since this is how God will deal with the wicked and the double-minded, do we have the same kind of fear that the psalmist had? Do we remember this when we are in the world? See, we are called to be in the world and not of it. And sometimes it can be so easy to adopt the world's values, can't it? We cozy up to the world because we don't want to stand out too much. Sometimes we even think that it will help our Christian witness if we're not too different from the world. So we end up being one of the boys or one of the girls. And we end up being in the in crowd. But the psalmist remembers that God will deal with the wicked and with the double-minded. See, our God is so much higher and so much other than us. And I think from time to time, we desperately need to remember that. We need to literally, as it were, look up and see who it is that we worship. We worship the God who created the whole universe. The whole universe. And he is the judge of all people. Nothing is above him and nothing is beyond his total control. And just as the psalmist needed to remember this, we too should have this fear. And we need to recognize that God's judgment on evil means that we should shun evil from our lives. And Jude expressed this, he expressed perfectly this sentiment of being in the world, but not of it. Right at the end, Jude, the New Testament writer Jude, literally was giving them final pieces of advice of what to do. And he says this in sort of summing up. He says, snatch others from the fire, literally help them to see the truth about God and save them. And to others, show mercy mixed with fear, he says, hating even the clothing that is stained by corrupted flesh. Literally, shun evil, he says. The psalmist is a man who wholeheartedly wants to follow God. And he wants to obey his word and shun evil. And he knows that he needs God to help him stay on the road, on the path. Literally in a nutshell, he says, keep me on your path, God, so that I won't be misled. For you judge the wicked. And I pray that this will be our prayer too. And that we will daily cast ourselves upon God's mercy and upon his grace to keep us on his path.